Guaranteed 10-second pimple vanisher, said Fred. Excellent on everything from boils to blackheads. But don't change the subject. Are you or are you not currently going out with a boy called Dean Thomas? Yes, I am, said Ginny. And last time I looked, he was definitely one boy, not five. What are those? She was pointing at a number of round balls of fluff in shades of pink and purple, all rolling around the bottom of a cage and emitting high-pitched squeaks. Pygmy puffs, said George. Miniature puff skeins. We can't breed them fast enough. So, what about Michael Corner? I dumped him. He was a bad loser, said Ginny, putting a finger through the bars of the cage and watching the pygmy puffs crowd around it. They're really cute. They're fairly cuddly, yes, conceded Fred. But you're moving through boyfriends a bit fast, aren't you? Ginny turned to look at him, her hands on her hips. There was such a Mrs. Weasley-ish glare on her face that Harry was surprised Fred didn't recoil. It's none of your business, and I'll thank you, she added angrily to Ron, who had just appeared at George's elbow, laden with merchandise, not to tell tales about me to these two. That's, three galleons, nine sickles, and a canut, said Fred, examining the many boxes in Ron's arms. Cough up. I'm your brother. And that's our stuff you're nicking. Three galleons, nine sickles, I'll knock off the canut. But I haven't got three galleons, nine sickles. You'd better put it back then, and mind you put it on the right shelves. Ron dropped several boxes, swore, and made a rude hand gesture at Fred that was unfortunately spotted by Mrs. Weasley, who had chosen that moment to appear. If I see you do that again, I'll jinx your fingers together, she said sharply. Mum, can I have a pygmy puff? Said Ginny at once. A what? Said Mrs. Weasley warily. Look, they're so sweet. Mrs. Weasley moved aside to look at the pygmy puffs, and Harry, Ron, and Hermione momentarily had an unimpeded view out of the window. Draco Malfoy was hurrying up the street alone. As he passed Weasley's wizard Wheezes, he glanced over his shoulder. Seconds later, he moved beyond the scope of the window, and they lost sight of him. Wonder where his mummy is, said Harry, frowning. Given her the slip by the looks of it, said Ron. Why, though? Said Hermione. Harry said nothing. He was thinking too hard. Narcissa Malfoy would not have let her precious son out of her sight willingly. Malfoy must have made a real effort to free himself from her clutches. Harry, knowing and loathing Malfoy, was sure the reason could not be innocent. He glanced around. Mrs. Weasley and Ginny were bending over the pygmy puffs. Mr. Weasley was delightedly examining a pack of muggle-marked playing cards. Fred and George were both helping customers. On the other side of the glass, Hagrid was standing with his back to them, looking up and down the street. Get under here, quick, said Harry, pulling his invisibility cloak out of his bag. Oh, I don't know, Harry, said Hermione, looking uncertainly toward Mrs. Weasley. Come on, said Ron. She hesitated for a second longer, then ducked under the cloak with Harry and Ron. Nobody noticed them vanish. They were all too interested in Fred and George's products. Harry, Ron, and Hermione squeezed their way out of the door as quickly as they could, but by the time they gained the street, Malfoy had disappeared just as successfully as they had. He was going in that direction, murmured Harry, as quietly as possible, so that the humming Hagrid would not hear them. Come on! They scurried along, peering left and right through shop windows and doors, until Hermione pointed ahead. That's him, isn't it? She whispered, turning left. Big surprise, whispered Ron. For Malfoy had glanced around, then slid into Nocturne Alley and out of sight. Quick, or we'll lose him, said Harry, speeding up. Our feet'll be seen, said Hermione anxiously, as the cloak flapped a little around their ankles. It was much more difficult hiding all three of them under the cloak nowadays. It doesn't matter, said Harry impatiently. Just hurry. But Nocturne Alley, the side street devoted to the dark arts, looked completely deserted. They peered into windows as they passed, but none of the shops seemed to have any customers at all. Harry supposed it was a bit of a giveaway in these dangerous and suspicious times to buy dark artifacts, or at least to be seen buying them. Hermione gave his arm a hard pinch. Ouch! Shh!
Look, he's in there,
she breathed in Harry's ear. They had drawn level with the only shop in Nocturne Alley that Harry had ever visited, Borgin and Burke's, which sold a wide variety of sinister objects. There, in the midst of the cases full of skulls and old bottles, stood Draco Malfoy with his back to them, just visible beyond the very same large black cabinet in which Harry had once hidden to avoid Malfoy and his father. Judging by the movements of Malfoy's hands, he was talking animatedly. The proprietor of the shop, Mr. Borgin, an oily-haired, stooping man, stood facing Malfoy. He was wearing a curious expression of mingled resentment and fear.
"If only we could hear what they're saying," said Hermione. "We can," said Ron excitedly. "Hang on! Damn!"
He dropped a couple more of the boxes he was still clutching as he fumbled with the largest.
"Extendable ears! Look! Fantastic!"
said Hermione, as Ron unraveled the long, flesh-coloured strings and began to feed them toward the bottom of the door.
"Oh, I hope the door isn't imperturbable."
"No!"
said Ron gleefully.
Listen!
They put their heads together and listened intently to the ends of the strings through which Malfoy's voice could be heard loud and clear, as though a radio had been turned on.
You know how to fix it?
Possibly,
said Borgin in a tone that suggested he was unwilling to commit himself.
I'll need to see it, though. Why don't you bring it into the shop?
I can't, said Malfoy. It's got to stay put. I just need you to tell me how to do it.
Harry saw Borgin lick his lips nervously.
Well, without seeing it, I must say it will be a very difficult job. Perhaps impossible. I couldn't guarantee anything.
No,
said Malfoy, and Harry knew just by his tone that Malfoy was sneering.
Perhaps this will make you more confident.